Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
You haven't ruled out more shutdowns.
Oh, well, no, I'm not shutting down the name, but there are, look, you need standards. The standard is if you have a reproduction rate in a community that's above a certain level, everybody says slow up, more social distancing, do not open bars and do not open gymnasiums, do not open until you get this under control.
So there you have it. You have Joe Biden talking about how he would manage if he were given the opportunity. The COVID, post-election COVID world. Here's President Trump also talking about this particular issue.
Look, all he does is talk about shutdowns, but forget about him. His Democrat governors, Cuomo in New York, you look at what's going on in California, you look at Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Democrats all, they're shut down so tight and they're dying. They're dying. And he supports all these people. All he talks about is shutdowns. No, we're not going to shut down, and we have to open our schools.
What a difference between what a Democrat would do with the office and what a Republican would do with the office. Let me ask you this question, and I said this last night. If you were watching the debate with us on our watch party on our YouTube channel, go on to YouTube, Annie Fry YouTube channel, and subscribe there. Is the fact that when Joe Biden is talking about what he would do, he's only talking about do not open. That's what he's saying. And if you're saying that the action is to open businesses, that means that the default is that they are closed. That is an un-American way of looking at this crisis. You can't, the default needs to be that they're open, and you need to pull back on that. Then you need to pull back on that or ask these businesses to put in some modifications to help slow a spread. I'm not opposed to that. But you can't say that the government has the opportunity to come in and shut everybody down. And then the question is, well, how much and in what capacity can they open? This is the backbone of American capitalism and the free market, is that we are out there making our own success. And the government is ripping away the possibility to do it. The biggest distinction between any opportunity to vote for an actual conservative Republican and a progressive Democrat is who is going to be the solution to the problems. If you listen to Joe Biden's closing argument from last night, he basically lists every problem that exists right now. And he says, if you elect me, I will do this for you and I will do that for you and I will be here for you and I will take care of you. I want you the hell out of the way. I don't want you to come fix all my problems. I got this. Get your tail, your big government tail, out of my way so that I can get back to the business of creating my own success. That's the distinction between these two parties. That's the distinction between the choice that you have to make in November. And that is as clear as it can possibly be. Joe Biden thinks that the decision that we have moving forward as Americans, that is his to make if he becomes the president of the United States, is how we can open things back up again. Well, I tell you to look to Christy, Nome, because this woman is, like, everybody look at her. I said to Katie the other day, she's the Sarah Palin that we never got. And honestly, I think a lot of that has to do with what took place while she was running as the VP and the way they just, you know, they didn't really treat, there was no, like, women supporting women emphasis around Sarah Palin. I actually like Sarah Palin a lot more than a lot of people in the circles that I'm in do. But she is leading her state. She's never shut it down. They're having success. They didn't cure the virus, but we were never told that we were supposed to cure the virus, folks. We were just told that we were supposed to keep our hospitals from being overwhelmed. And we were told that we need to make sure that we have enough ventilators for everybody. Turns out that our usage of ventilators in the first place was not exactly the right way to go, and that we probably had a higher mortality rate because of the way we were initially treating this virus, that we were taking away people's opportunity to succeed. The mortality rate has decreased for people who are having hospitalizations now because we have learned how to treat this. And that's to be expected. That's a Monday morning quarterback comment for me to make if I'm doing it in a way that is judging what we did in the beginning. It's just a reflection of what we know now, and that's the way these things go. Joe Biden is talking about how we can open up the economy and when it's appropriate to open things up again. Donald Trump is saying they should not be shut down. What an important distinction for Americans who want to have to make their own living and not sit there and wait for Nancy Pelosi to get the porkiest pork bill that she can get through the House to try to make sure that she can provide you with a check that you need. If you're waiting for a stimulus check from Nancy Pelosi as the be-all, end-all solution to the problem we have right now, you're looking in the wrong place. Vote red, because when you do, you're going to get the opportunity to make your own living once again, and the sooner, the better. Gabe, what do you think about that? This idea of, you know, COVID's not going away. We are going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. If you listen to what Donald Trump said last night, if you listen to what Kamala Harris says, if Trump says the vaccine is okay, you shouldn't take it. That seems really encouraging. That's incredible. But just the approach of the future, when we talk about how 2021 could be maybe a scarier year than 2020, maybe not, COVID's going to play a big part in that. There's a huge choice that Americans have to make with this election that's going to affect how that goes, certainly.
It's kind of fascinating to me that the same people who want to paint Trump as some wannabe dictator or they call him a fascist or things like that has resisted the biggest, juiciest opportunity that he would have to claim vast executive powers. And they're complaining about the fact that he did not do exactly that. So it's kind of weird to me that you know, these same people, you know, they say, oh, yeah, Trump's a fascist for some reason, but he didn't take his fascism far enough as it relates to COVID. It's really dumb. And, you know, something else I've noticed, and it's kind of, you know, apropos of nothing, I suppose, but the year to year, I think our flu numbers are down by like 95%.
That's crazy.
I wonder how that is. So the thing is, you know, we have imperfect data. We have an imperfect knowledge about all of these things, and we're basically doing the best we can. And the idea that we somehow have to hold life at bay until we have cured a disease that we didn't know existed until earlier this year is silly. We need to go back to what we were talking about before, exactly what you were saying. You know, we need to focus on flattening the curve, protecting the most vulnerable, but we need to get back to life as it needs to be. Otherwise, you know, what are we doing? We're just waiting in our basement to die? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Kellum on our YouTube page says Gabe's YouTube videos are great. Just a quick reminder to go onto YouTube and subscribe to St. John the Philosopher, because Gabe puts together some really great content there as well.
Thank you.
Ryan, you've got cystic fibrosis. Of all the people who should be concerned about opening up and closing and this, you know, the way we decide to handle this going into the future, with somebody who has a condition that would be greatly affected if you were to contract COVID, what do you think about the way that these candidates are approaching this issue? You know, because I heard in a, I think it was in Laura Ingraham's focus group afterwards, they were talking about shutdowns and everything. And one person who identified themselves as a Trump supporter said, you know, they say listen to the experts, listen to the scientists on this virus. Well, we have economists who are experts, too. We have mental health experts, too, who are saying that shutting down is a terrible thing for us going forward. He goes, but I guess we don't listen to those experts because it doesn't fit the narrative. It's a complicated situation. Ryan, what do you think about it?
Well, that's a good point. I don't mind any of the Monday morning quarterbacking or looking in hindsight and saying, here's what you did wrong to the president, especially in election year. I think that's completely fair to do. The problem is that if I were to hear a better plan and say, wow, yeah, that would have been better or will be better going forward, I'm fine with getting on board with that. But when you ask Joe Biden what he would have done differently, he just attacks Donald Trump and says, well, you didn't do a good job. He really doesn't even say specifically what he did. He just says you did bad. And so what would you do differently, Joe? Well, I would shut the businesses down more. And going forward, we're just going to shut more businesses down. I mean, really, that's it? And a national mask mandate? That's it? So between the two, I don't really see what the great benefit to killing coronavirus would be by voting for Biden.
Interesting. Well, I want to take a quick break because when we come back, we've had a request for the Ryan Wiggins parody version of our show intro. And I thought maybe we'll just break a little bit earlier here than we normally do so we can play the Ryan Wiggins intro to the show where he just recreated it with his ingenuity. And we'll play that when we come back. So you're going to want to stick around to listen to that, and then we'll do a little Ask Me Anything. So this is where you get to send in your questions, anything you've ever wanted to know from myself, Gabe, Katie, Ryan. You can designate a question for a specific person. You can ask the whole room. You can comment it on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page or the Annie Fry YouTube page, and we will consider your question and add it to the segment when we come back. Ryan Wiggins' intro to the show when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I feel as though I need to clarify something from the beginning of the show. I got a message from somebody on Instagram that says a coyote is a slang term for a trafficker. You kind of should know that. I do know that. That's the point I was making. I don't think I made it clear enough that I was blown away that there were people who actually thought that coyotes, like wild dogs, were bringing children across the border.
I'm not sure how you could have made that point any clearer.
I didn't make it clear enough. I had somebody message me on one platform and somebody message me the Wikipedia definition on Facebook. So maybe they came in midstream.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm aware of what a coyote is, and I maybe should have just wrap that up with a prettier bow at the end. So yes, there are people out there right now who are criticizing Trump for being so dumb that he thought that wild dogs were bringing children to the border, which sounds to me like a wildlife problem more than an immigration problem.
The dingo ate the baby.
Yeah. I'm being told that it didn't come clear on the radio. I think this is a great time to tell you that I have a podcast, and if you would like to hear it again and maybe just reconsider that, that'd be great. But just to be honest, like, how many listeners did I lose in the amount of time since we talked about that who are like, this broad's so stupid, she thinks animals. The whole point of the conversation was to tell you that I couldn't believe there were people who were so ignorant as to think that. And if you go on my Twitter, at Annie Fry Show, you can see that I called that out last night. And I will work really hard to gain back all of the IQ points that I just dropped for people in the process.
I understood you.
Yeah, you know, in the world where I think that coyotes are actually wild dogs who are bringing, I mean, like, come on, give me some credit here. Like, gosh, what am I even doing here? Steve Moore, get him on the phone. He's the stupidest decision he's ever made to put me on the radio. If you think that that's who I am, then this is probably what you hear when you turn on the Annie Fry.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
And then it stopped. Exactly. This is exactly how this goes. Katie, do you have you can play
sure
it?
Do.
We had a request on our Facebook chat here for the Ryan Wiggins version. This is what you did. This was like the first week you were working for the Dave Glover Show.
It was around there.
The first
couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie, you go ahead and play this. Ryan made
that is
all
exactly
by himself
what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
And you need to take some time to get the full picture.
Come on, come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they're
the coyotes.
Engines, but they don't belong
bring
in the
children
newsroom.
Across the border.
Anchorman,
children just get on their back and they lasso their way across the border. It's an
what
amazing
thing. What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Is it? Is
That's
it?
That's amazing.
Can we change that to just say, like, this is the Dave Glover Show or something so that people cannot give us credit for this or blame? It really, it's all in a matter of perspective.
Originally, it did. That was the joke, was that I was presenting, this is the new Dave Glover Show opening. And so it said Dave Glover.
And then Dave kicked you off his show. It's
yeah.
weird. It's weird how that works.
It didn't take much longer.
Huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. I was just auditioning for this show the whole time, apparently.
yeah, you were. Maybe now's a good time to go and ask me anything. I mean,
if you have anything to ask me, just go ahead.
I want the truth!
Say it.
Thank you for your honesty.
You can't handle the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
All right, anybody have a burning Ask Me Anything question that they really need to get off their chest?
I got one.
Go for it, knock yourself
so,
out.
So, Gabe, you mentioned this earlier in the show, and this was also a question asked of us last night on the Facebook Live. If the Trump we saw last night was the Trump we saw all the time, would he win by a landslide this election?
I say yes. I mean, especially if Joe Biden is the candidate. Joe Biden is, like, Trump says this all the time, too. He's the worst candidate in the history of candidates. That's like basically what Trump is saying. He's not good. I think it'd be a landslide. What do you think, Ryan?
I say no. The difference that I think would happen is that you would get rid of the shy Trump voter. But those people are still voting Trump. So I don't think that it would change the actual outcome.
Don't you think that there are people who are not voting for Trump because they're ashamed of him?
I think that the left would spin whatever they wanted about him if they hated him to make him unpalatable no matter what he was like.
It's yeah, but there's so much ammunition he puts in their gun. There's so much that he is constantly serving it up for them so that they don't have to talk about policy. If he didn't do that, if he did what he did last night and he didn't load the gun for them, oh my gosh, I think it would be, in a word, huge. Gabe, what do you think?
I guess it comes down to how many, you know, people are so much never Trumpers because of, you know, the various personality flaws that you know, that more put together Trump might turn them, or if they are just so enamored with you know, the media presentation of Trump that it doesn't matter. I'm not sure either way, but certainly yeah, the shy Trump voter would go away. And you'd certainly have a lot more enthusiasm.
Let me ask you this too. In addition to that, if you didn't have shy Trump voters, if people were willing, you know, if your neighbor was willing to be like, yeah, I vote for Trump, I support Trump, wouldn't that normalize supporting Trump? I mean, right now, if you're going to identify yourself as somebody who supports this president, you're taking a risk, like a legitimate risk about what people are going to think about you, relationships that you could lose. If he didn't have, if people weren't afraid to identify themselves as a Trump supporter because you didn't appropriate all these other criticisms of yourself just by saying that, then I think that there would be some sort of you know, contagious nature to being able to admit that, yeah, I like this guy and his policies are way better than, you know, socialism.
Well, yeah, that's true. And you're right about it normalizing it, and that might drive turnout more to Trump. But I also think simultaneously, if he weren't doing the constantly fight thing, that the media would be walking all over him even more, and therefore it would offset the normalization.
But at the same time, Joe Biden, I mean, Donald Trump did not get easy questions last night. They were not set up to make him look good. Joe Biden was the opponent on that stage, and Donald Trump, he fought back the entire night, and he did it. It's the way he did it. It's not what he says. He doesn't have to say anything different. It's the delivery, and his delivery last night was different. His message was not different. His delivery was. You can still fight back and do it in a way that allows people to absorb it, and I think that he would do himself a big favor that way. But I also understand why he's PO'd all the time, and it's not in his nature. It would be a tall
PO'd off.
I don't have a counterpoint to that, but I am still probably right.
Katie, what do you think? I just checked the polls. It looks like you're not.
Got it. Polls don't lie, so.
I love the Trump that we saw last night. That was probably my favorite Trump in the last 4 years. And I think it would be easier for me to have conversations with people my age and get through to them on a rational level and a logical level and to have discussions about Donald Trump. However, I know many, many people that were also texting me last night saying, this Trump is good, but I like the gangster Trump way better. So, I mean, for me, I liked last night. I liked the way he was last night.
Can't last night's Trump and rally Trump exist in the same world, though? I mean, obviously they can. They do. It's up to him. Yeah.
My favorite Trump is last night's Trump and dancing Trump.
Dancing Trump's my favorite Trump. He should dance all the time. Everything he's saying, he should do a little.
I like COVID video Trump.
Yeah, it's pretty unbelievable. Gabe, you got an Ask Me Anything you want to throw out there?
Sure.
Let me interject here real quick. If you want to put a question that you would like to ask us, make sure you go put it in the comments before we wrap the segment up. Okay, sorry, Gabe. Go ahead.
Oh, yep. No, it's cool. Throw out something on your bucket list and tell us why it's there. For me, one of the things is going to see the Holy Land. I kind of love the idea of being able to walk where some of the figures in the Bible that I read about walk. You know, because these are real people who did real things really in history, and there are places that show all those signs that have all those historical markers, and I'd really love to see those kind of things up close and touch them and just make them a little real to my senses.
Interesting. What about you, Ryan? Bucket list?
Man, this is an intangible, because I could say something like I'd like to take a cruise or something like that, but my wife won't take cruises, so that's why it's on my bucket list.
I'll leave her at home.
Sounds like your bucket list is going to include a few other things.
All inclusive.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. As a life goal, I want to get to the point where I feel content no matter the situation. Mm. I never truly arrived there, but I think that it's possible in Christ.
Katie, that's a good goal.
Goodness gracious. How do I go after that?
Katie's like, I want to find a better replacement for Jello.
Yes. Can we please? What's the substitute? Please. I've really never thought about a bucket list before.
You got to get a little closer to dying. You're not old enough yet.
Yeah.
I've never.
I got to work some of these things in here. I'm running out of time.
Something
you're still in
I would
your 20s.
Love to do.
Once you get up, you make noise. Then you'll realize.
I would love to go on like a 2-week road trip from Missouri to Colorado, or like traveling to Colorado and hitting different states on the way, or California hitting different states on the way. My husband and I don't go well together in a car, though, so that will not be happening, I'm sure.
Is it because you're overbearing and he can't handle it, or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. He cannot stand my driving, and he is very critical of it, and it's fine, but...
When we were driving to Tennessee a few weekends ago, I could not handle... things just come out of my mouth and I can't not say it. And I'm like apologizing at the same time I'm saying like drive, stop slower. Like that car up there is going to stop. You're going 70 miles an hour on a highway. Nobody's stopping, but I'm afraid that it might be. So I ended up doing a Twitter Ask Me Anything so that I would pay attention to something else. So yeah, it's hard. It's a hard nut to crack. What were you going to say?
Katie, you can go on a road trip with Ryan's wife and then you can send your husband with Ryan on the cruise.
That's true.
Or you could go on a cruise Stop with Ryan. Off.
That's so true. I just want to hit
Which
a couple
would you
of
pick?
States on
That's
the way.
That's my Ask Me Anything. Would you rather go? Wait, Katie, would you rather go on a cruise with Ryan or a road trip with Ryan's wife, who you've met like twice?
No matter what, it's going to be a walk to remember.
It's true. I'm not a cruise person. I would go on one if it was free, if Ryan's paying, but... I'm not a cruise
if
person.
If I pay for a cruise for Katie, I get to go on a cruise with Katie.
Jackpot.
Okay.
Jackpot.
My bucket list includes taking a trip to Australia and spending like 4 to 6 weeks there. My grandmother was from Australia, my grandpa during World War II, and it would mean a lot to me to be able to go see, the place where she grew up and the beach that she used to tell me about growing up and playing on and building a fire and all that stuff. And plus, just generally speaking, I think Australia sounds great. I hear they have spiders. I don't know about that, so maybe the 3 to 4 week range instead of the 4 to 6 week range. But Australia is definitely very high up on my list. So that's why.
Sweet.
You're talking about spiders.
Animals
like
in Australia fall into
spiders?
Two categories. Whatever. It's just like the ones that are trying to kill you and the ones that are really, really cute.
Some of the ones that are trying to kill you are really, really cute.
Yeah, also
that's
that.
Kill you.
Ryan, you got an ask me anything?
Kill you with kindness.
Do you find yourself, did you drink more when you were younger or now that you're older?
Well. I'm not much of a drinker. I like to socially drink from time to time, but I'm probably pretty much the same. I definitely was not ever like a hardcore partier. Katie, what about you?
I am the same, only opposite, which I never thought I'd be able to say. I am in the same that like I haven't changed my drinking habits, and I'm opposite because I am drinking.
How were Jared's drinks last night?
Amazing. They were so great. I think I had 4 drinks. They were great.
I conducted a field sobriety test on Katie.
I didn't scratch the surface.
Yeah, we had bottomless cups last night. That was
nice. It's fun. What about you, Gabe?
I definitely drink more now, mostly because I'm old and I hurt and the world is stupid.
Numbs the pain. Take me out.
Yeah, I do too. I was never much of a drinker, and I actually do drink more now. I don't drink a lot, but when I do, it's more now than it used to be.
Okay, here's my question, and I'm asking it from Jimmy on the chat. He said, what's your most embarrassing moment? Anybody have one that they want to go first? Your most embarrassing moment?
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah, Gabe, you got one? Because I do.
Yeah, I mean, it's from when I was a kid. I was a little kid, but it's still the one that sticks out in my mind. I'm an intense rule follower, and the rule is, You raise your hand and you don't make noise, and your teacher will eventually call on you. You don't make noise. It was nap time. We all had our heads down on our desk, and I had to use the bathroom. And I raised my little hand, and she never looked at me.
Uh-oh.
So I sat there, and I made a mess.
Poor baby.
Yeah, a little guy.
To Ryan last week. I
was going to say, that's my embarrassing story, but it was in the studio with you guys.
A year ago.
Yeah, it was last year before COVID. So that's why I've been like, you know what? Let's just keep broadcasting remote.
Messing up dance. What about
okay,
you,
real, real story. I used to have a comedy list before social media was big. I had like one of those email lists that I would send out comedy bits to in the early, mid-2000s. And one time I wrote a love letter or some reason why I wanted my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, to not break up with me or to whatever. It was some sort of love letter. I sent it out to the entire community accidentally.
Oh, gosh.
And man,
it's a good story because you still married your wife. So it's not like
it still happened. She didn't even get the note, though. I sent it out to the wrong group. I was trying to send it to just her. I sent it out to like 500
people. How'd you recover?
This is my favorite story.
How'd you recover?
I didn't. I went into radio and I tried to hide. I
went on the Annie Fry show where nobody would know that I exist.
And look, every single person who got that thing, either the list was so unsuccessful that nobody actually read it, or nobody said a thing to me on that entire list except for my one friend who just emailed me back and said, dude, I just want you to know that I was there when you fell.
Oh, man. So did you know that you sent it out to everybody like the second you click send or not until he wrote you back?
Not until he wrote that back. And then I went, oh, my gosh, I just sent this to my friend. Oh, my gosh, I just sent this to 500 people.
Oh, man.
All right, Katie, top that.
I'm better than mine.
I can't top that.
I
well,
pooped in my pants.
Nope, that did not happen. No way. I think my most embarrassing moment was probably messing up the lyrics when I auditioned for American Idol. Not audition, but whenever I made it on American Idol. And we had
Katie made
night.
It to Hollywood, folks. If you don't know that, if you're new to the show,
yep.
Katie made
got
it
that
to
golden
Hollywood
ticket.
On American Idol. And girl can sing.
And we had a group night, and I messed up all of the lyrics because I was super sick. And
ooh, what song was it?
I can't even remember.
I can't remember.
I totally blanked when we got up there, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. We'll do it live. It was nerves. It was me being very sick and not getting the practice that I needed. And
do you think if you would have remembered the words, you would have made it further?
I don't know. I'm not sure. They were getting very picky because this was like the 150 people that were left. So they were getting really, really picky towards. So probably not.
I have two embarrassing stories. One of them is when I got busted cheating in high school on a book report because I realized the night before that the book report was due in my biology class. It had to be something about science, so I thought, brilliant idea. I'll read the book Jurassic Park and write a book report on it. And I just sourced, I sourced some other book reports that exist. It was more of a research paper, except for I didn't cite those things. That's the only time that I've ever cheated like that, and I got busted for it, and that was super embarrassing, and I ended up getting a C in that class, and that was working that grade up from like an F. But the other really embarrassing time that I grew out of and now have kind of grown to love is that when I was about 6 or 7 years old, my parents came and told me that a photo that they took of me had won a Kodak contest. And basically when I was 2 years old, I got out of the bathtub butt naked, and I mean butt naked, not fuck naked. And I walked outside, I picked up an umbrella, and I stood outside. It had rained outside, and I'm standing away from the camera. My parents snapped a photo of me holding an umbrella where you can just see my little booty.
Oh.
And they submitted it to a Kodak contest, which it ended up winning a prize. It got printed in, I believe, the Alton Telegraph in a full, like, centerfold. And then it won another contest, and it was displayed in none other than Epcot at Walt Disney World.
Oh.
And my parents told me after it had won this contest, they're like, oh, that picture that we have. I'm like, what picture? Oh, this picture. Mm. What?
Oh.
And I realized that my naked little booty was in Epcot in Walt Disney World. So we went to go see it. I got a Disney World trip on it.
That's the cutest story.
That's
yeah, but when you're like,
oh my gosh.
No, let's see. It was 1991. So I would have been, I'd have been like 7 or 8 years old. And it was mortifying to realize that there was a picture of your naked butt.
Yeah.
And, but now I'm mm-hmm. like, that's pretty sweet. What's your butt done, sir? I just feel like I kind of won on that one.
Well, we know what Gabe's butt did.
Yep.
All right. Good. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Tony Colombo will join us for Annie, Are You Okay? As we wrap up the show. Thank you to everybody who's joining us online in our chat. Thank you for submitting your questions and participating along with us. We love each and every one of you. We'll be back in just a minute with Tony Colombo. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Pleasure to spend the afternoon time with you here. Real quick, before we get to Tony Colombo, have you guys heard, let's see if this I can get this to play here. Have you heard this? This is a song about voting for Donald Trump. This is saying, I will vote for Donald Trump. And this is Latinos for Donald Trump. Poor Donald Trump. Yeah, that was sent to me a few weeks ago, and then they put an ad together.
High quality.
And it is pretty amazing. There's a strong Latino support, specifically in Southern Florida, for President Trump. And I feel like that's going to be an interesting statistic to see when we come back. Tony Colombo joins us in studio. Hi, Tony.
Hello. Do you know why there's a strong... Hello, everyone. Hello, Gabe. why there is such a strong support in Southern Florida for the Latino vote for
because
Trump?
Those Latinos hate communism?
Because the Cuban Americans down there hate socialism
yes.
and communism
mm-hmm.
yeah,
because
take it one
they
step further.
Fled it.
All right, we got a little Annie, Are You Okay? Ready for you on a Friday.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
What you got?
Dunkin' Donuts just announced a new product they're selling for Halloween. It's the Spicy Ghost Pepper Donut.
Okay. Pass.
That was the most, like,
I relate.
Nonchalant vomit ever.
Well, we know how Katie feels about it.
Just like, not the traditional, like, to make a point out of it. Just like,
just a minimal.
Right. Just,
just dropped a couple pieces. Of
that's what I think.
Kind
now
of
I'm
Katie
done.
On this one. Yeah,
it's a regular donut covered in strawberry icing. That's a good start, but then it has hot red sugar sprinkled on top. You okay with a hot donut?
Does it hurt to eat it?
I don't know. I've never had one.
Probably.
Yeah.
Just make a
That's a good kind of hurt, though.
Spicy ghost pepper donuts. Got like, I think it's got like pepper sprinkled in on. It's got the ghost pepper sprinkled in on it.
The donut is at the apex of treats for me. I don't know how everybody else feels like this, but there's nothing like an amazing donut. I would maybe try it if somebody else tried it and said it was good, but I'm not really, I like spicy things, but I'm not into like eating things to punish myself. So I don't know. I'm kind of okay with it. Why not?
This story is a little bit old, but I wanted to, I didn't get to it last week and I really wanted to get to it because it's a baseball. No, it's a baseball story and give us a chance to get a little venom out. Astros pitcher Zach Greinke, who's a jerk anyway. And you're about to find out even more.
He's been with
that
everybody.
Sounds right.
I
yeah.
think he started with
the he's been around.
Anyway, he thinks that fans are annoying. And he prefers playing in empty stadiums.
Fans are so
he said,
wow.
He said, quote, "I don't really notice fans when the game is going on, but warming up and practice before the game, for me, it's nice not having fans."
Is it nice not having a paycheck? Because you know who's putting money in your checking account?
He says, "There's no one trying to talk to you and asking you for autographs and wanting pictures and all that stuff. I don't like any of that.
That's
it's nice
part,
not
Zach
having
Greinke.
It. You know what? It's fine. It's fine.
I relate to that.
I do too. It's
but
fine.
But you don't say it out loud.
But shut up.
Yeah. Punk.
You okay with me reminding Zach Greinke that it's the annoying fans that allow him to play a game for a living?
Yes.
If you want to play baseball in an empty park, you can join a men's league at your local YMCA. And nobody will bother you, and you won't make millions of dollars, you ungrateful punk.
You can play in
give me a break, Zach Greinke.
Annie identifies with that because she's so tired of the autograph requests. She loves to say it, but I'll say
so
it.
So annoyed by the fact. If I have been asked for my autograph a few times, and I'm always like, "You don't want it." Like,
signature's bad.
I don't know what you've heard. I don't know what.
Like, that's cute, but no.
I mean, it comes off like potentially I'm being egotistical. I'm so embarrassed that somebody, it's like, "You've misunderstood." And I need to stop doing that because it's insulting. I'm here to talk to you and I want to build that relationship. But...
Well, no, that's a lot better than telling them that they're annoying.
Yeah.
Like Zach Greinke.
Or you want an autograph and the first thing you say is where.
Okay. Kraft just launched.
It just made it weird.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He never takes a day off, does he? Kraft Heinz just launched a 3-pack of games based on
Kraft
mac and cheese. Yes.
Games?
Yes.
I like cheese. Those are the facts.
Kraft Heinz just launched a 3-pack of games based on Kraft mac and cheese, Heinz ketchup, and Jell-O. The first two are dice games.
Katie?
The third is a card slapping game. And their game boxes look like the food packaging. You okay with getting the family together for a night of playing Kraft mac and cheese the board game?
I think Sorry is the best board game. I think Sorry is a fun board game. I like board games in that capacity, but I'm not going to play a Kraft mac and cheese one. Katie, Kraft mac and cheese and Jell-O?
I am so mad right now that Jell-O had to be included in that.
Katie,
why?
Imagine Kraft mac and cheese in your Jell-O shots.
That is...
Oh, come on.
Okay, no, that is too
so we're
far.
Back to chunky Jell-O
That's
again.
Too... Stop talking about chunky Jell-O.
Last one, super fast. More than 1 in 4 Americans say they will never go back to shaking hands.
Oh,
are you okay with officially 25%? Ending more than 1 in 4? It's like 26-27%.
How many people don't want to hug anymore?
You okay with officially ending the practice of shaking someone's hand?
No, you need to be able to shake somebody's hand. You don't have to shake everybody's hand. Just like you don't have to hug everybody.
Waka flaka flip. Callback from last night.
If you could have seen the look on Katie's face when I went to her and said waka flaka flame.
If you didn't hear our debate coverage last night, you missed it, folks.
Yeah, you sure did. Thanks for having us.
Waka flaka flame.
Yeah, it's always good to go on the air after the drinks have been poured and the evening is wrapping up. Thanks for letting us go last, Tony. Thank you for
for being here. We really appreciate you. Check out the Annie Fry Show podcast wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe for us if you don't mind. And stick around because the DGS is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.